Welcome to the Action Sports Podcast. We created this podcast to help you become sponsorable by learning from the athletes, brands, and those that are crushing it in action sports. So crank up the volume and get inspired to turn your passion of riding into your career.
What is up, action sports enthusiasts? If you have not already joined the Action Sports Club, head over to ascarmy.com/podcast so you can get your club invite and start learning how you can land sponsorships and spend way more time riding. Again, that is ascarmy.com/podcast. See you in there. All right, Riley, how do you say your last name?
Suhan.
Suhan. Dude, I'm stoked that you were here because I've seen, you know, like we talked off camera, I've seen videos with you in 509, like off and on, I've seen your name pop up. And so when I sent you that message, and I know, I mean, it's very normal for Instagram messages to kind of be taken time to get back to. So when you like, sorry I didn't get back to you, I was like, oh, I know. I like, it's cool that you even got back to me. Like I get left out to dry all the time. So just the fact that you found it, I was like, yes, I consider that a win. I'm like, okay, Riley's on board. Riley's cool to chill and talk with me. And you know, another guy out of Golden, BC, right? So stoked for you to be here, and we're gonna learn some great wisdom tonight. So Riley, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Colton. And yeah, I appreciate you reaching out and me finding that message. Because to be honest, I was scrolling through, and a lot of times I'm not knocking any messages, but sometimes you just don't see them all, especially when you have busy life and everything. And sometimes, yeah, you scroll upon one that's really interesting and actually very exciting. As soon as I seen it, I wanted to reach out and, you know, learn more about the podcast and yeah, see what it's all about. So here we are.
Yeah, dude. And you even had a chance to listen to one with Liam Dillon, and now he's going to be tickled that you listened to that.
Yeah, that was awesome. I actually listened to that this morning, working on my sled, just getting it ready to sell it for the end of the season. And yeah, I threw it on, listened to it in the garage, and that was really cool. I'm really excited to, you know, get actually back to work and to listen to more podcasts, because not going to lie, that's when I have the most time to check them out.
Right. Yeah. So you're how many generations logger are you guys?
I'm third generation logger right here in Golden. And been doing that for some time now, basically since after I graduated high school, but then I went away to college and left logging for a bit and then came back to logging and did a few things in between. But yeah, I learned that I really like it. It fits with my, especially living here in Golden.
Yeah. You know what? I told you there was somebody that I was talking to the other day that lived up there. Matt Cox.
Yeah.
Matt. So I talked to him last week. So I was like, man, who was it that I was just chatting with? Yeah, it was Matt. I couldn't remember what for the life of me until he said Golden again. And then I was like, oh yeah, Matt. Cause he was up there, right? Was he a sledding buddy?
I met him this year, and so awesome dude. Met him actually at my race, and he came out and we've been messaging online. He was, you know, reaching out to see if I needed anything to help with the race, which again, thank you, Matt. And he came out, had an amazing time, and we hit it off. And yeah, the guy's awesome. I don't think he lives here anymore. I don't want to totally guess, but like Kelowna area, could be totally wrong, but yeah, super nice guy.
Yeah, that's when I was talking to him the other day. He said he was down in the Kelowna area. I was like, oh, dude, that's pretty cool. Because, I mean, that's not far from where Aaron's at, and Aaron loves that area. I don't know. Kelowna seems to be a pretty cool place to venture to or to live. It's kind of similar to, like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong just because I haven't been there yet, but kind of like Sundance, Park City, you know, a lot of, like, Aspen, just somewhat of the ritzy place. And then because they have Big White up the mountain, right? Just outside of there. So I'm assuming that that's kind of what it's like, but it's a beautiful looking town. At least all the pictures I get to see, looks like a gorgeous place. I wouldn't mind going there, but so does Golden. Golden looks gorgeous.
Golden's gorgeous. It's small, of course, and it's you know, it's got its little things here and there. We don't have a lake, and that's what Kelowna's
right
just crushing it on. They got the most beautiful lakes and awesome temperatures and no mosquitoes. We got like the world's most amount of mosquitoes, it seems like, here.
You got grizzlies there?
Oh yeah, we even have one at our ski hill.
Really? Forgot about grizzlies. I was talking to McNulty about grizzlies the other day. Forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's one of those things that you don't have to worry too much about down here, down in the States. You get some, but you don't have to, you don't worry too much. But up there, like, it seems to be common.
We don't see them super often, but they're definitely around, like, especially doing the job I do out in forestry, running equipment in the middle of nowhere. You see lots of signs, and quite often you see them more than the average person. We even seen one this year just driving to Alberta.
Interesting. Ah, that's interesting. I forgot about that. My wife, I don't know if she's going to want to move up there now. She's afraid of mountain lions, and you never see a mountain lion, like, ever.
No, you don't. I have a little story about that. Actually, we just bought this property, and go too long about it, but when we bought the place about a year and a half ago, there was an old hay barn, and we found a dead deer carcass in there, and that was drug in there apparently by a mountain lion. So we got them pretty close right here.
Yeah. Oh, that's scary. You just get into their little stashes like that, and if they're around, they're not happy.
No.
No. How interesting. Well, that's completely off topic of what we're actually here for tonight, but, you know, I'm just glad we get to get a couple things out of the way, maybe answer some questions other people have had. So I'm cool with that. We're good. Now, I want to start off and talk about your personal experience with sponsors. And the reason why I want to dive right into that is you're with 509, and you've been with 509 for a while. So 509 has definitely changed from, like, when I was introduced to 509 it was 2011. I was introduced to 509, mostly the goggles. They're just known for their goggles. Didn't really have anything else. And then I believe their helmet was the next thing that I saw. I don't recall if I saw much of their apparel at that time, shirts and stuff. Yeah. But it was mostly goggles. Like, they were just, this seemed to be this goggle company. So how did you get introduced to 509, and why did you start building a relationship with them?
So the way I got introduced with 509 is, of course, when they started making their films. Again, big fan of Bloodneck series growing up and all the other side films, and of course 509 films, and watch those a whole bunch. And I've always sled and, you know, wanted and dreamt about being a part of one of the film series. And yeah, again, it was always just going out, riding, learning as much as I could, and just dreaming of that day. And along the way, through a few stepping stones with certain sponsors that I had acquired and met new people, it kind of just jumped out in front of me, which I have a lot of people to thank for that. Like, even Brett Turcotte, I believe he was a big part. I could be a little bit wrong, but this, I've never actually talked to him about this, but I'm pretty sure that he's seen some of my social media content. I can't remember exactly if we rode before, but what had happened through a company that I was riding for, they also reached out to 509 to see when they were filming and if me and my buddy could tag along. And that was Russ Z, who was riding for Strict actually back in the day. And, you know, the company owner there reached out and bugged them to see if we could come out and ride. And, you know, we'd love to be a part of it. And so that sponsor actually helped us out big time. And then I believe what I was saying about Brett Turcotte is, I think he kind of elbowed them a little bit and just had them like, yeah, like, you should check out this guy. And I got invited to go out and ride with them when they were videoing some Russians that were coming out, some of the guys from the 509 department over there. And that's when I met Michael Reeve, who's the Canadian filmer for 509. And after that, they invited me and Russ out to the heli shoot. And that's when, of course, I rode with Brett and a whole bunch of the guys, Cody Borchers, met Jay Menteberry. It was like the craziest, biggest day of my entire life. And I give it all the credit to where I am now, to a lot of those guys. They kind of believed in me and kept inviting me back basically every year. And it was still seems a little surreal that it all happened and that I'm a part of 509. It's like I say, pretty surreal. And again, I don't really know exactly why I was chosen in a way, but very thankful for it. And because like I say, it was like all of us letters, it was always like a lifelong dream as a little kid to be in the films. And now I've been doing that since 509 volume 9, which
right. 2013, I believe.
I think maybe 14. Because I was XM, Skidoo XM that year.
Yeah. So it would have been 14.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's interesting. I've always had that interest. So who was your first company or the first sponsor then?
My first sponsor, sledding sponsor, tiny little side note, I raced mountain bikes, downhill mountain bikes professionally.
That's right.
And I did that before I got my first sponsor sledding. And I'm just trying to think, I feel like some people reached out to a couple companies. Like there was a couple of local people I worked with. Like I worked with some photographers from Golden, like Dave Best, which again, super good buddy of mine, where he introduced me to some people with taking photos, introduced me to another photographer, Tim Gray. And through that, I got introduced to Strict. And I'm trying to think if Strict was my first sponsor in sledding or if that was Highmark by Snowballs, their backpacks. Yeah. I can't totally remember.
That happens. That happens. I mean, you work with companies a while ago and it kind of molds together, right? The transitions and stuff like that. Cause you've been riding sleds basically your entire life, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Born and raised in Golden. And my dad rode sleds his whole life. Mm. And same with my mom and my sister. And we all used to ride together. So,
right. So it makes sense because, like you said, you were you were professional downhill mountain biker, right, for a bit, which was actually pretty fascinating. I'd like to talk on about that for a minute. We'll do that in a little bit. But the transition from one focus to another focus is kind of sometimes it's blurry, like it just seems to kind of become foggy. But I, according to your social media, like looking through your social media, Strict was a big piece to that. It looked like Strict was probably like one of those companies that you were so enthusiastic about that it was everywhere. Everything and anything said Strict if it was related to Riley, which that's how you work sponsors, right? You blast their name out so everybody sees your passion for them, even though they might not getting paid to do that. You love them. You stand behind their product. And you stand behind who they are. You fit with them. So do you remember how that relationship ended up happening?
That relationship, again, I think it was one of the photographers there mentioned me to Dan, who still owns Strict there, and you know, wanted to meet, and we met up and we talked, and he was very cautious because, you know, to bring on somebody very young as well and wanting to push the limits, you know, he told me right off the hop, he doesn't want to see anybody get hurt, but he wants to, you know, see what I'm all about. And I didn't have much content back then. So I didn't have my digital resume to kind of just like, here I am, this is what I am, like kind of now. And it was a little bit like on eggshells at first, just because he didn't want to get invested and hurt themselves and be a bit of a waste of time for him. Right. And yeah, I got introduced to him through word of mouth, basically, because people had seen how I was riding over the years. And it snowballed from there. And yeah, I rode for Strict for, I want to say around 5 or 6 years. I don't know exactly the dates, but yeah, it was a really big part of my sledding career. Definitely to start there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of funny. Both 509 and Strict very may well have both been good networking with photographers or videographers, right? And they kind of introduce you to this. So that tells me then, Riley, that you were already this professional rider, you know, in the backcountry. Like you were already hucking it, right? As you, as like the Canadians like to say, hucking your meat, which it's a great term for you. It just makes me laugh every time I hear somebody say it. But you were doing so much, especially like on that old rev chassis too, right? You were just launching it, just killing it. And there was some good photography or videography that was based on you. And yeah, though social media like Facebook came out in the 2000, like late 2000s, and it was more of like that networking thing than rather an actual platform that we have today. It wasn't really until Instagram started to take mold that we can start creating content and sharing this content, which was kind of like scrapbooking in the way I looked at it. But eventually videos were introduced and it really started to work. And you were pretty good at posting even pretty early on. I think, could be wrong, the earliest one was like 2012. Yeah, I know 2013 for sure, but I want to say maybe 2012 you had a couple things, and 2014 had a ton of content. 2015, like a little bit, and then 16 was a lot again. So
yeah,
it's where you start to really build those audiences, especially from the beginning stages.
Yeah, it's, again, it's pretty crazy looking back on the history and where I kind of came from, just starting as literally just somebody who loves sledding. Like, and I always sled in my family, and my dad was a big time sledder, and same with my mom, and they've always done it. And I just always had such a passion for it. And again, it's one of my favorite things to do. And just backtracking on downhill mountain biking, the reason why I don't do it anymore is because, long story short, I like sledding too much. And what it, to explain that, is basically with downhill mountain biking is to go, keep going at the level that I was just getting into with downhill mountain bike racing, was to basically ride bikes 365 days a year, and I couldn't not sled. So with that, I actually, my last race was my last year of high school in Chamonix, Switzerland. And after that was, it was good. It was awesome. And I said it, or kind of set the bike down on a good note, and had a ton of fun doing it. Learned a ton about sponsorships really from that, and obviously had a great time, but it was an awesome way to just like transition into sledding and put more of my thought and time into it and just enjoy sledding. That's what I've always kind of just wanted it to be. I never really wanted sledding to necessarily be called a job. Like, of course, work on building relationships and all that stuff, but I just wanted to have fun at it always. And that's kind of, long story short, how I ended up where I am, in my opinion, I think. So,
yeah. So what are some of the things that you learned from downhill mountain biking with, when it comes to sponsorships?
Biggest thing I learned is don't burn bridges. Like, I remember, again, cause I was quite young, like my last year of racing, I was 18, and I started racing when I was 9, and not seriously when I was 9, of course, but I got onto the, you know, BC Cup circuit, then went to the Canada Cup circuit, and I actually raced Worlds a couple times my last 2 years, which was amazing. And again, a dream come true. But what I'd learned throughout those years was I always wanted to try out that next thing, that other company. Oh, my buddy rides for this company. My buddy's trying out this thing. Like, so I ended up actually, in my opinion, just jumping around too much and not getting to know anybody enough, like not working with the company that I truly believed in and I truly wanted to ride for. It was more like, well, that looks cool and this looks cool. And I think that was me being a little bit immature. And
I learned now that, like, again, ride what you want to ride and try and build relationships with people you want to build relationships with. And you got to give it some time, some work. You can't just ask for something and get it. Like, you got to get to know the company owner. You got to get to know the manager you might be working with there. You got to just get to know things, like learn things all about it and be passionate for it. Just like you're passionate for the sport, right, in a way.
So you feel that way towards 509 then? Like, what's about 509 that has really kept you sticking with them? I'm assuming it's those qualities that you were looking for.
Totally. And over the years, like, there's just a whole bunch of things that have benefited me in general. And just what I enjoy about sledding is, like, all the people that I've met, all the riders and athletes that I've filmed with and that are a part of the 509 team, and the people that aren't a part of 509 that you meet through the filming and through doing those projects and everything. But that's just one portion of it, really, is meeting the people involved, meeting the owner, Tom Delanoy, like the filmers, the Canadian filmer, of course, Mike, who's become like one of my best buddies, who I ride with and film with a couple times a year, David McKinney down in the States, and all those guys, and, like, you know, Jay Menteberry and all that stuff. Like, we got along super well. Haven't seen him in years with COVID and everything. But so many of the guys involved with it, like, I'm just very thankful for all that stuff, like meeting Cody Borchers and all that stuff. But it's not meeting all those people, but it was just 509. I liked what they were doing. Of course, very fortunate at first to just, like, be a part of it. But then every year they continued to push the limits and continued to grow, and they continued to come up with new product. They kept you excited for the next year stuff coming out. And it was very cool to be a part of it. And, you know, not that we gave crazy amount of feedback, but if we did have feedback, to let them know on it or about it, and just, again, to be kind of seen as the promotional body to represent the brand. And it was always easy, and it still is easy to this day. And it's very fun. And at the end of the day, for me, it's all about having fun. So it's never been a job to have to work with 509, right?
No, that's cool. Yeah. So when you start having a passion, like, and you don't feel that it's really work, which I mean, you could kind of look at sponsorships like that way too, where people feel that sometimes landing sponsorships or working for those types of things are a lot of work, a lot of hard work. But when you start doing it for a company that you really fit with and you love, it's kind of hard to, I don't know. I think there would have to be very unique circumstances for it to make you dislike the job or dislike working with that company.
Yeah. It's like when people say, like, you get that job that, like, you know, you make it not work. It doesn't feel like work. Then you will enjoy that job. So sure, try a bunch of things or whatever. And I feel like that's what I did with trying a bunch of different companies in mountain biking. And then, again, got fortunate enough to be a part of 509 that it just, it, yeah, there's a lot of work involved. There's a lot of planning. There's a lot of just basically working together with the company and coming up with a plan for the year and delivering on their requirements, what they're looking for to satisfy them, to help them sell stuff, really.
Right.
But because it's worked out so smoothly and comfortably, it hasn't really felt like work. And, you know, I don't mean to make it sound like it just gets handed to me, but you definitely got to work for it, but it's enjoyable work. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and you've been with them. I mean, if you look at consecutively, it was 2014 in your social media that I saw, 2013, 2014, that you were working, like you said, on the 509, you know, series nine or whatever the film is. That's 8 years, right? So were you with 509 the whole 8 years, or was there a break between it at all, or what was that?
No, it was the whole 8 years. Volume nine, I got invited to that heli shoot right at the end of the season. And then that's when the following year in volume 10 that I got my first full length segment, and was kind of like very mind blowing that that actually happened. And it's still one of my favorite segments. If any of you guys haven't checked it out, I recommend checking it out, because that was when I was, I don't even know how old I was then, early 20s, if not. And yeah, it was, yeah, very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, during that time, you're working with 509, you're getting put on strict catalogs, right? So you were in Strix catalogs. You were making it on Sledder Mag, right? Even posted on there. So by these connections, by like this networking, you started to actually get your face a little bit more known. Like you became one of those faces, kind of like Cody, right? Cody Borchers and Jeff Kyle and those older guys that we all watched when Slednecks was around, which if you haven't noticed, they're kind of making a comeback right now.
Totally are. Those guys haven't gone away. The OGs, man, that's what we all strive to be like. And and now I get a call, a handful of them, good buddies. So,
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. To get to that position where you can get those points. And now you're doing what those guys were doing. Like that's living that dream that so many people want to do. They just, man, I want to be on that.
Go as big as they ever did, which is gnarly. Cause those guys
were crazy.
But yeah, we're just trying to follow in their footsteps.
Yeah, which is awesome. It's fantastic. So working with companies and then working a full-time gig during the summertime, right? So how does the family dynamic kind of fill into this or work in with this?
It's a lot to plan and organize. And what my fiance has been teaching me over the last years is to plan a lot in advance, because it's definitely hard to just like, a lot of sledders just want to like, they call you Friday and they're like, let's go ride. And, you know, as I've gotten older and have a family now, it's very, no, I shouldn't say very tough. It's a lot different than it used to be. And that's just a part of maturing that I've been figuring out. And it is a lot to juggle, but it's totally doable. Like what I am now is just a weekend warrior, and I still rode 20 some days this year. And for me, that's a lot. I've had a lot bigger years, but that was in my past when I did snowmobile guiding for two and a bit of another season. And I was on snow almost every day, and was 1 year was over 100 days on snow. And it was a great experience. But what works best for me, of course, is what I'm doing now. And that's logging, and it's hanging out with my family and doing life with them. And that's number one. And then when I have spare time to follow my passion of sledding and see how far I can get with it is number two. And on the weekends, if I can get out riding with Anissa, that's awesome. We have so much fun. And then if I can get out with my 509 buddies, that's also is equally as awesome. And went in working on that stuff. So there is a lot to plan out. Not every weekend for me is working on the sponsorship relationships and working on my sledding career, but it all ties together, and it all, I think, helps kind of be the whole rounded thing, because working on that stuff, I think, really teaches a guy a lot on how to plan stuff and be very professional on taking sledding as far as I can.
Yeah. So if you're logging during the summertime and you're staying busy with that and you're getting 20, you're like a weekend warrior in the wintertime, what do you like? Do you have an income or a job during the wintertime, or what do you do then?
Yeah, I'm logging in the winter as well.
Oh,
yeah. So I basically log all year round. Actually, right now I'm not logging because we're on spring breakup and it's just a little too muddy to be out there with the roads and the road bands. So yeah, I work all year round, and Monday to Friday, get long weekends off and capitalize on those weekends. And when we have a film trip that we want to plan for and make happen, we have to plan now, like I'm saying, months in advance and pick those dates and take those couple days off from work if I need it. And we get the weather that we get and we go for it. Just like if you recall that polar vortex video we did the previous winter, we planned that, like I say, well in advance, and we were delivered some minus 30 degrees Celsius temperatures months and it was very cold, but we made it happen. And actually the project turned out very, very well, which was, we didn't even want to go the first morning because it was so cold, but it turned out to be one of the coolest stories. And yeah, I actually really like watching that little clip we put together a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that's one of the cool things about watching with 509 is they have this film, but they're also trying different, they're also testing the market, throwing out things, that trying to see what will work, see what people are interested in. So maybe come up with like a series, right? Have a couple of videos of certain riders throughout the season. They'll have like a full video that you can watch. And it just seems like they're testing these things, seeing what's really working and what people are, what's driving attention, driving attraction to their company. And it's great. Having guys like you on there is fantastic. So the question comes back to the company. What does Riley do to actually give back to these companies? Like, they've given you so much, given you opportunities to go doing like the Healy shoots, given opportunities to go make these short clips and, you know, enjoy the frigid air and frigid temperatures. So what do you do to give back to a company like 509 that can offer you everything?
Well, to start off, I hope I do enough, to be honest, because you never really know, other than like I'm still a part of them. So that obviously is saying something, I guess. But again, like I would run their product. I think this says enough for what it means is, if I didn't ride for them as a sponsored athlete, I'd still use their product. And I hope that I can be a face that when people see me, they think of 509, they think of the cool product, and you know, it just reminds them of the cool things that they've done and all the progression that they've done and where 509 has come from. And just to be a role in, like a small portion of that role in their growth, is pretty amazing, just to grow with the company, because they're always pushing the limits on new technology in their gear. And just from, like you said, how we were talking earlier, where they were mostly just goggles to start, and they've worked all the way into basically selling head to toe every piece of gear. And with the goggles now coming out, everything's heated and magnetic lenses and fully carbon fiber helmets. And there's just a million different options of gear, not just for backcountry mountain riders like ourselves, but for the trail riders, for all types of sledding and all types of people, the women's line and everything. It's amazing just to even be a part of that. So basically just trying to get that word out and trying to, again, give back as much as I can. It never feels like enough, but to try and help them out. And if that's by making posts, by doing these projects for entertainment, for people to check out, for, yeah, just spreading the word on their product and what they are. And I do believe in 509, and it's amazing to see where they've come. I'm excited to see where they will go and what different things they'll do. I never thought we'd be doing a full YouTube series and all sorts of different things, but I guess that's just what happens with social media and the progression of it. Well, so it's very cool.
No, yeah, that's awesome. It can be kind of a challenge. Like, sometimes companies may not really tell you what exactly they're looking for, other than, yeah, you know, tag us, make sure that we're mentioned inside of your posts. But kind of to your point, where it's more of looking to drive attention to the products, to the company, right? Finding ways to bring the product in front of other people and really help promote that, push the product, especially because you believe in it. And like you mentioned, which I think is awesome, and a lot of people need to understand that, if you believe in a product so much that you're willing to pay full price for it without any discount or being a sponsored individual for it, then that very may well be a product that you're a good fit with, and you should be considering a relationship with them, especially if that's something that would work out, right? And I know you work with a couple other companies like GGB, Cheetah, right? Cheetah Factory Racing. Yep.
Yeah.
You probably have a couple other brands or other companies that you're working with. So how many companies do you actually work with?
I'm working with 8 companies right now.
Okay.
And I'll list them all off. There's Riders Edson, where I get my sled from.
Okay. So it's shop.
Pardon?
A dealership, a shop.
Yep. Dealership. And again, the most amazing guys I've dealt with, but yes, that's where I get my Skidoo from. And ECD Customs that wraps the sled. Like you've mentioned, GGB exhaust, Cheetah factory racing handlebars, Munster finger throttles. My good buddy is a good part of Sure Fuel, which you guys will have to look up to figure out what that is. But it's a really cool company that delivers fuel, like a, which I don't live in the city, so like a Uber Eats kind of thing, or like order fuel to fuel up your vehicle from your cell phone, which I think is very cool. We don't have it out here because we're in small town Golden of like 6,000 people. So, but yeah, the big hubs have that. Highmark by Snowpulse, 509. And I can't remember if that was eight or not.
But that is eight. Yep. We got eight. We're good.
Right.
I was going to say, let's see if he gets nine. Let's test it. Let's test it. Right. Yeah. Ninth one. We're like, oh, what about that one? So that kind of, another question, when you're working with a dealership, have you tried to go factory with Skidoo and work with Skidoo straight, or is it better to go work at a dealership level?
I don't know what's better. I haven't, you know, reached out to Skidoo, to Polaris, to Articat, because I have rode all three brands and tried them out, and I have no brand, like I'm not biased to each brand or any specific brand, but what works best for me is what I found is Skidoo, and I'm really happy on it currently on their model, and I plan to ride it for many years to come. It's just, I grew up on Skidoo, and again, there's pros and cons with them, pros and cons with everybody else. But to answer your question about the dealership or factory, of course, factory would be super cool. Again, I haven't reached out there, and that might potentially be the next step, just to have that conversation, talk to some of my friends like Jay, who is on with Skidoo as an ambassador there, and like, I've even talked to Dave Marona actually slightly about it, and just picking his brain, see what he thinks of it. And yeah, that, maybe one day I think that would be really cool. It'd be really fun. I'm definitely very happy with the range of sponsors that I have. They all complement each other and they all work together very well. And I have built relationships with all those companies. I've ridden for each and every one for at least 3 or 4 years, I believe. Sure Fuel the last 2 years, but that would be the shortest term as it's the newest one. But other than that, it's, yeah, they work very well. And again, the factory would be very cool and something that could be a goal of, well, it is a goal of mine. I just, again, I don't know if that's something that might happen or not.
Guess you never know unless you don't try, right? I mean, that's also the lesson you learn. If you don't try, then you never know.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna push you on this. I think this is an opportunity that you might want to be able to grab. But here's the cool thing about this, right? So you love a company, you ride the company's machine. This goes for any company, really. You love the product, and so then you start pushing for that sponsorship, and it may never come. Just might. I mean, it just might not be a good fit. But does that mean, oh, I should just ditch the company, ditch it because they're not willing to work with me? Or do you stay on because, back to the point you made, I love it so much, I'm still going to stick with it. And working at a dealer level is really awesome too, because there's other opportunities you can work that way, where dealers give you a sled for the season and then you sell it at the end of the season for them. Right.
Yeah, and business there. And, you know, that's what I've always done, and that's worked very well. But like you say, if you don't try for it, then you won't know if it will happen or won't happen. And yeah, if you just dream about it all the time and never put the work in or make those conversations or reach out to those people, ask 100 questions or 1 million questions, like, again, that's the way to figure things out. And I guess what I was saying a little earlier is just like, I'm very happy with where I'm at. I'm not saying I'm not growing anymore, but I would love to be a part of a factory deal. I just haven't reached out for it, to be honest. And maybe it would happen. Maybe it wouldn't. Maybe they'd see the benefit in me and the fit. But again, maybe they don't and or wouldn't. And yeah, maybe that's, I have some questions to be asking and some conversations to be had.
That's right. Yeah. So now we ask the question. I mean, this is kind of a hard question that I'll pose even on you, Riley. What kind of value do you think you could bring to Skidoo? Like, as an athlete, as 17,000 followers, as a guy that's been working with 509, granted, I'm giving you all the answers, right? As we stick through this. What is, like, what do you feel like is that intrinsic value that you can bring to a factory like that? I mean, we know Manaberry, he's a very talented guy and he's all over the place. Like, he's popular.
He is. Yeah.
He's a popular guy.
And I think that's like a huge part of the package. It's just being a personable, relatable, good, hardworking dude or lady. Like, it's a huge piece to the puzzle. And, you know, I think some, like Anissa always says, I'm too humble and I don't give myself enough credit. And yeah, I guess like with my track record, it you know, it'd be a good fit to show Skidoo what I'm capable of, basically. Well, they potentially maybe have seen some stuff, but to be that ambassador, just to give it a good word of mouth and show how much fun you have on the product and really test it out, show that you believe in it. Because again, like those 8 sponsors that I am currently riding for, I believe in those guys. They believe in me and like we have fun together. Like it just, they mesh and they make it seem simple. And I just like having fun. And at the end of the day, that's what sledding is for me. Again, I can show people how much fun I have by supporting these companies as well, because at the end of the day, they're the ones that help me get on snow more days. They, you know, the product, the couple paychecks and stuff that, you know, pay for gas so I can ride more, that I can take those couple days off of work here and there. That's the stuff that makes it happen. So then I can bring some advertising for these guys and show them what the product's capable of, especially the sleds. Like the technology in the sleds every year is just insane how fast it's growing. And it's cool to show it to its full potential. And yeah, I think that's what's cool about Skidoo and where I feel most comfortable is just what they've been building and where it's at nowadays and how comfortable I truly am on it from riding 3 of the 4 brands and learning what I love the most.
Right. So I think what we'll do, Riley, is we're going to cut and edit this segment and then we're going to ship it off to Skidoo. And, you know, maybe they'll send you a little card saying, thank you. Here's a sled.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah. Dude, Riley, this has been fun. This has been cool to kind of get to know you and learn more about your perspective and how you as a backcountry athlete, as a sponsored athlete have, towards our industry, towards action sports as a whole. I think 2 really cool things that you're working towards, which I admire about you is working towards that factory step, right? That's going to be the next cool step for you. And the other step is making it to Heydays. I think that's the other, you have 509 there. You have Skidoo there. I think Cheetah's there. But there it's a cool place for to have you there and actually meet you in person. I know I'm going back this year. Last year was my first year. So this year is going to be my second year going. And I know they just opened up the border. So if you're not vaccinated, I still think you can cross the border.
Totally. And
totally make an effort to go down there. But I know that's also in the middle of your working schedule. So that's also the other key to what you do for a living, like the balance, right? Trying to make this work.
Big part of the balance for sure. But I would absolutely love to make it there and see all those companies, see all those people, see some friends I haven't seen in many years and meet yourself as well. It'd be a pretty cool trip.
I think it'd be worth it. I think it'd be cool. Well, dude, let's go ahead and finish this up with you dropping your handles where people can find you, and then we'll sign off.
Okay. Yeah. You can find me on Instagram, just @rsuhan, and Facebook. I just got a Facebook page. Just type been my name, Riley Suhan. And I haven't ventured over to TikTok yet, but actually I was talking to one of my buddies today and he was saying how sweet it was. And I've heard lots about it. Might have to get that here maybe for next season.
Yeah, no, TikTok's a great place. It's interesting. It's very fascinating how TikTok works, but yeah. My little brother makes videos on TikTok and he rides a Kawasaki Vulcan, pretty sure. Yeah. Vulcan. He rides around Phoenix, Arizona, and he's attached this dragon. So How to Train a Dragon, the toothless. Yeah. Dragon. He attached it to his headlight. So when he's riding, its wings are flapping. And so people are like pointing at it and talking. They're like, oh, that's awesome. Like, he makes all these TikTok videos about it and it's starting to grow, which is kind of funny. He used to only get a couple views. Now he's in the hundreds of views every time he posts a video. It's an interesting place to create content, but once you can get the figuring out of what people are liking, then you're going to be good at getting more and more and more. But yeah, Sometimes you got to be a little silly.
Totally. And that's what I've heard and have seen about the small portion I've seen it, is it, a lot of it's funny, a lot of it's silly, a lot of it just makes you laugh. And that's something I might have to get into here.
Yeah, you know, you seem like a pretty fun guy to be around. So I'm happy. I've been having fun with you. So I think that'd be good for you. But cool, dude. Super stoked that we connected and we got the Wi-Fi thing figured out too.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, it's good because you gave me an opportunity to see a little bit more of Golden. So now I'm like checking out the area like, hey, maybe I could go move to that place. You know?
She's pretty nice. I'll show you around if you ever.
Yes. You know. Yep. I need to make it up there. I was hopefully making it up to Canada next year. We'll see how things pan out, but it'd be nice. Yeah. But. Well, cool, dude. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Colton.
See ya.
Hey, thanks for listening. If you found value on this episode, be sure to share the vibes and subscribe, drop a review, and rate the podcast. If you want to further your knowledge on how we're helping people like you spend more time riding, be sure to head over to theactionsportspodcast.com and request an invite to join the fastest growing club in action sports. And come join the Action Sports Army by following us on all social media channels. Find us at The Action Sports Club. And thank you again for being a listener of the Action Sports Podcast.